Okay, so tjena tjena. Jag heter Joanna, and that's about the Swedish we're gonna have today, because that's all I know. My name is Joanna, I came from Romania, and I work at Truecaller. Here with me is Hassan, and together we would like to share with you our experience with taking Truecaller to emerging markets.
Hi, I'm Hassan. I also work at Truecaller. We're both Windows Phone developers. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with Truecaller, Truecaller is a startup from Stockholm, Sweden. We have an app which helps you enrich your phone book with latest information. We also help you identify unknown callers and spam callers. Currently, we have two apps in Windows Store, namely Truecaller and TrueDialer. And we have lots of users in emerging markets, as you can see from the numbers.
So today we would first want to look into why are emerging markets so interesting and something to look into, and if you haven't, you've been missing out on a lot. After that, we're going to go through a set of tips and tricks, things we learned along the way, and maybe you can benefit from. And at the end, of course, we're going to have some time for questions if you want to learn something more. So first, why are emerging markets so interesting? Well, up until now, most developers have focused on the Western world, and with a very valid reason. They have US and Europe have combined almost 400 million smartphone users and have seen amazing growth. But statistics shows that it is slightly showing to saturate. So basically, whomever wanted a smartphone, they probably got it by now. And that's about it. But by doing so, you will close your eyes to a huge amount of users that are growing really fast. If we only look at China, it has more smartphones than all Western countries together. So a lot of users and a lot of opportunities you're missing out. If you only look at Africa, you can see that they are replacing their feature phones with smartphones very fast. Predictions show up until 2020, there are going to be way more smartphones than feature phones. So now imagine if your app is number one in a 100,000 user market today, and that market goes to 1 million. Your user base will multiply with very little cost and effort from you. So that's definitely something to look into. Now, it's clear that they're growing and they're growing fast. Why is that happening?
Well, some of the reasons might be that the affordability of smartphones is increasing in emerging markets. We dig up some data on Application Insights, and we found out that the two most phones, which are primarily used in our user base, are Lumia 520 and Lumia 535. Both of them are low-end devices in the price range of 75 to 100 euros, and the users just love them. They provide you everything which a high-end smartphone can do with the lowest cost, with some compromise, which those people are willing to pay for. Okay. Another phenomenon which is happening in emerging markets is the growth of mobile subscription, which is recently taking off. Now, I come from a country, Pakistan, where 3G and 4G was recently introduced, like very recently. Last year, we had 3G and 4G together, so we were simply late on 3G, but it's taking up. Now, 3G and 4G might be most of the mobile subscribers in today. We still have 900 million subscribers on 2G, which creates some interesting challenges.
Now, what to expect when you're taking your app into an emerging market and a really fast-growing market? We found three major topics where we had problems. UX and UI, to make your app look good everywhere and for everyone. Network and the environment your app is going to run in. And of course, hardware problems. But first, we were going to look into UX and UI and what can we do about it. When you take your app into over 30, 40 languages, like we do at Truecaller, the testing really becomes a problem with localization and globalization. You don't think about it that much, but it really is. So internally, what we did, we developed a very cool plugin, Autoplay, that helps you stress test your application in every user behavior you want. You can configure it to run through any scenario as many times as possible. You can test your UI components for different languages, different formats, string lengths, whatever you fits your personal app. And also helps us a lot with the screenshots for the store, which just took forever to do. And actually, this the idea for this plugin came from our designers, who had to do those screenshots for every upgrade. So, Hassan, and it's available on GitHub. You can download it. You can configure it. Hassan will show you how easy it is to just take it and put it in your app.
Yeah. So we've bundled autoplay together with the demo app today. And something about the autoplay, it's not a generic solution. It's actually a shared project, which you will just see in a moment. So here we are in Visual Studio. And we have a demo app for you called True Phonebook. It has a head called True Phonebook, and it has autoplay as a shared project. Now, the reason it's shared and not a separate DLL or a portable class library is because it still requires access to the specifics of your app, which we are going to look at in a moment. So let's run through it first. Now, this is a basic app which is supposed to list your phone contacts with some nice pictures and phone numbers and names and mobile types. It also provides a way to search. I can search my number. I can search my name. So imagine that it's a full-fledged app and you have several other pages as well in the app. And you want to test screenshots, how they look like in different languages. Let's do that. So we have an autoplay here in the app bar. We run through it. It starts switching the languages. It has pre-configured scenario for the landing page. It knows how to set up text and numbers in the text box. Then it switches to another language, runs the same thing. As you can see, the text is localized. We have the phone number types in Arabic. Then we have German, and so on. Now, what happened behind here is that it generated in my pictures folder an autoplay folder with today's date, folder for each languages, as you can see. So we have the number scenario, we have the name scenario, and we have the default landing page without anything. We can add more languages to it. We can customize it even more. So let's see how we can do that. So here we have a script file placed in the autoplay. And since we are only showcasing one page, we only have the landing page here. We have different actions on the language page. By the way, the schema for this XML file is custom. You can come up with your own. You can use basically whatever you want. So here we have for searching the number, we have for text, and then here we have some languages. And what do we want to search in those languages? Now let's try to add another language. So for the demo, we've used a constructed language. Now if some of you are Star Trek fans, you might be familiar with it. So let's run it. And autoplay. Yoo-hoo, we have another language. Thanks to Bing Translator, we actually managed to get some translations for the Klingon language.
Yeah, okay. We really care for our geeky users out there. We want to make everybody happy.
So let me switch back then.
Yeah, thanks, Hassan. So you saw how easy, well, You can configure autoplay to work on anything. You saw the support we get from our colleagues in the office now. But how to fit multiple translation in one UI? Well, you really have to be mindful about strings length, format. There are a lot of things that you can miss. And if you have a big app with a lot of strings, using the autoplay is super easy. You just scroll to the pictures and you can identify all the problems. For example, Hassan, we can go and look at German, which is always fun to translate for.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me switch it back.
I'm pointing out German because it was a language we had problems in the past. It's a very descriptive one, very nice, but the strings tend to be super huge and sometimes don't really fit where we want them to fit.
Yeah, so let's revisit the screenshots we generated a moment ago. And let's go to the German language. We have the Klingon here as well. Okay, this looks quite okay. This is a number search. This looks like the name search with the number type Arbeit. Okay, this doesn't look as good, especially the watermark text. As you can see, it's going out of, wait, now you can see better, yeah. So it's a lot bigger than what we expected, right? So imagine that if you have translations for 40 different languages, your translators work with that, and you end up with a really strong, really long string length, which can't fit in your UI. It's really difficult to test switching, changing languages every time, and then checking which strings are bigger. So autoplay helps you here.
Yeah, so at Truecaller, we really try to keep a very close connections with our translators and collaborate with them, because it's very hard to actually give them just a set of strings and expect them to understand what they're going to do. We had a funny situation some time ago. We need mobile types in our app, and one of the mobile types was home. But some of the translators would translate it as building or house or something like that, which wasn't really semantically what we expected to be. So we really tried to bring translator into the office or make them use the app, share with them what we're gonna include them in the beta program and everything. So the message is the right one. Also engage with users, and this is only involves both language, both cultural boundaries. You might end up sending the wrong message. So we really try through ambassador programs and with engaging with users to really keep a close connection, see what they think about the app, how easy it is for them to use, especially since some users have different expectations from technology and different experience with technology. Some might be just having a smartphone for the first time in their life now. So of course, you really need to cater for them and make them comfortable with technology.
Right. So we just tried to fix a problem here with the string length. I mean, we didn't really fix it. We pointed out that potential problems which you might have in UI based on different languages. One famous problem which users face in emerging markets, especially in Middle East and North Africa, is the right to left orientation. So I come from a country where we also use right-to-left script. We speak the language Urdu, and the orientation of computer programs and mobile apps looks something like this. So let's see how our app, True Phonebook, fits into that. So I'm going to switch it again. Remember, we already created the screenshot, so we don't need to rerun the app to see how it looks like. Did I switch it wrong?
Yeah, the tech support is not like in whole one.
Nope. Okay. Yep, here we go. So let's look at the screenshots for Arabic language. By the way, are there any native Arabic language speakers here? Or anyone who knows any right to left language? That would be fun.
So you can tell us anything.
Okay, then I can lie and make something up. Yeah. So this looks like a regular name and number search, as we saw with other languages, plus the list. As you can see that the watermark text has been localized. Also, the phone number types are localized. But what I'm missing here is the orientation. As a user of right-to-left language, I expect the app to show me information from right to left instead of showing me the English way and just translating this stuff. Luckily, Microsoft provides a property on UI elements called flow direction. So let's take an advantage of that one and see what happens. So I have a piece of code in AppXAML.cs, which we use to, which is called when we switch the languages. And I already have the bits and pieces prepared. So I will apply the right to left property on the flow direction on the root frame so that it gets propagated on every control in the hierarchy. So let's change that. And let's run it again. Now this time I'm not going to generate the screenshots since we already have them. Okay, so we can go to the language page and pick Arabic. Yoo-hoo, we have the right orientation now. Well, turns out we couldn't solve every problem. So we have the right to left orientation here. However, we still have some minor issues. We have the arrows pointing in the wrong direction. We also have our images mirrored, right? So basically what happened here is that when we switched the flow direction for RTL language, it just switched everything except the arrow. So this is not what you always want, right? You want your images to be unmirrored. You want them as they were before because they're avatars of people. And as you can see, one of the avatars is a text, which is now reversed. So let's try to fix that too. Oh, and another thing which you might not have noticed, the numbers here are still in Latin characters. They should also be localized in Arabic characters. So we basically have three problems here. The arrow, which is not pointing in the right direction. The avatars, which are switched because of right to left. And the phone numbers, which are still in English. Yeah, the text orientation in the search bar. Yeah, well, that one is out of the box, right? Now it should be from right to left. So yeah, we get something for free, other things we have to work for.
Yeah.
So let's try to fix these three problems in one go. So I'm going to the my XAML file. And let's try to find the image. So this is my ellipse, which is avatar. And I'm going to switch, let me make it more visible. So I'm going to add flow direction here and override the property and make it left to right. So that should fix my avatar. I can also do the same for my arrow, which is actually a glyph. So let me add it here as well. And from the phone, for the phone numbers, we actually have a converter because that wasn't that straightforward. So let's try to uncomment that converter. So here is my run, which is simply binding to the phone number right now. I'm going to comment that one. And I have already one prepared with, which is using the converter. I'm going to uncomment that one. And let's have a look at the converter itself as well. So this is number format converter. What it's basically doing here is it's using the numeral system translator API from Microsoft. And what this method does is just converts any string of characters containing Latin to the language which you are switched on right now. So it's basically a one-liner. So now that we've done all this part, let's try to run again and see if it fixed our problem. Okay. We get the image right, we get the Arabic numbers, but we still have problems with the arrows. Turns out that the flow direction is not the silver bullet. We can fix that too. So this thing didn't work, setting the flow direction on the glyph. By the way, the glyph here is the arrow, but it cannot be shown in, this is the one, but it cannot be shown in the Visual Studio Editor. So we'll use another converter here, which will simply switch the other glyph. And it's right up here. And I can show you what this converter does. It's similar to the previous one. It checks if you have, if your current culture is right to left, then use a different glyph. Yeah, they look the same here in the editor, but trust me, they're different. We'll find out in a moment. Yoo-hoo. Looks a lot better, right? Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to switch it over again.
Really takes too long.
No, or did I switch to the wrong one? Okay. Not working.
You really want to just continue coding?
Yeah, I wish I could. Yeah, so maybe I can explain just. Yeah, so as we found out by switching the languages, that flow direction is not the silver bullet. There are exceptions which we need to handle. And when you go to emerging markets, only by generating screenshots like these and being engaging with your customers can help you find out these things, because you living in the Western part of the world might not have this understanding. Is it still a problem?
What output should it be?
I don't remember. Okay.
Yay,
back. We're back. Sorry about that.
So yeah, as my colleague mentioned, flow direction is not a silver bullet. I know it's pretty, but you really have to check all the exceptions. Pictures and glyphs never work out of the box. Just check them. And Arabic numbers have to be translated into Arabic language. I know it doesn't make sense to me either, but it just has to be. Yeah, so besides all the XAML problems or UI problems you might have with fitting languages and all this, when dealing with globalization and localization, it's very easy to get misunderstood or even banned in a particular country. So I know, we've been there. So be very, very sensitive to cultural bias. Try to look beyond the cultural bias of your local area. We're here in Sweden, we're accustomed to certain things. This is not the case everywhere. One tip I could give you here, don't use flags. It's just not fun with flags at all. There are so many exceptions and rules and all that, and little shades of colors that you are just creating a lot of problems for yourself. Also, be very mindful about disputed territories. Currently in the world, there are several areas of conflict. I can just mention China, Taiwan issues, Tibet, and there are many more. So if you have borders or countries mentioned in your app, any type of map or anything, be mindful where you're publishing your app, because they might just ban you, and it's very, very hard to get access there again. And also religious beliefs, are of course, are a very touchy subject. They may be very strong and very very different in some areas. So again, I want to stress out to think of all these things when you go global. Besides all the UI problems and globalization problems, when you're taking your app into such a huge range of regions, you are going to have network issues. Because in many fast-growing markets, network is just, and operators are just catching up now. So we still have 2G quite well spread. It was 900 million in last year. You also have data plans that are expensive. You have to pay for every megabyte. So this brings quite some challenges that you might have. So how can you maximize your app download in a particular fast-growing market? Well, I just took three apps, Truecaller is our app, from the store, and they're all free, which is awesome. But from a user's perspective, a user that has a very bad data connection or pays for every single byte he gets, they're not actually free. For example, Facebook, it's about three times bigger than Truecaller, so this will take three times longer to download and may make it impossible. And WhatsApp is just huge. We tried to actually do some calculations. These are for India. Roughly how much a person would actually pay for the data plan to get these apps. And it's clearly that from their perspective, it's not free, literally. So as a developer, what can you do to actually make your app more accessible? Well, pretty obvious. Reduce your app size as much as possible. And I strongly recommend using app bundling. If you go global, you should use it. It's no point of downloading to a user assets or languages or specific things that he's never going to use. Definitely use it. And also reduce assets size and usage. This you can do by reusing the assets, changing them on the fly, changing opacity or colors, or literally reducing the size of the PNG. For example, in Truecaller, we use a pretty cool tool, a PNG outlet.
So let's
show it. Are we courageous enough to switch again?
Yeah.
Which just takes all the assets from our app. And tries to optimize them. Basically what it does, tries to cut as much as possible, especially from the headers. So everything he can cut without compromising quality, of course. And it really, even for our small app, you saw it was one page, two pages, just a simple, pretty demo app. We can see that we can save quite a lot of memory there. So in total, we are now at about 50 kilobytes, roughly. Yeah, so just for our small demo app, we managed to save 40 kilobytes of memory, which might make the difference for a lot of users.
Yeah. Shall we switch again?
Switch me back, please. Please work.
Okay.
Now I know why so many presentations went over time. Our timing is perfect. So it sounds obvious, but we tend to forget it. When you have a super powerful phone with a lot of storage, you don't think about these things. But even a few kilobytes can make the difference of accessing your users. In the same network topic, because network is so unstable, you have to think and provide a great offline experience for the user. There are a few things you can think about, like caching. I know it's a pretty trivial word, but what I want to stress out is to think of caching very user-specific. See what is the user behavior, what feature does he use, what he really needs to get as much as possible when he's offline. And I'm stressing it out because most of the devices in emerging markets are not very strong hardware, so you can't afford to just cache everything you might think he needs. So it really requires you to be smart on this end. And also, queuing requests. This is awesome. This gives the illusion of connectivity. So the user can actually make requests. You're going to save them and address them as soon as the network is up again. This is also a cool technique to reduce the traffic for your user. For example, if a user is offline and he goes into settings and toggles on and off a particular feature several times, when the network is up, you're just going to send the last one. And he's going to be happy his setting got through. Besides this, how to take advantage of special hardware capabilities?
Yeah. So this might not be applicable to all app developers, but those of you who are dealing with phone call operations or VoIP apps or apps like us, they might encounter this phenomena. Now, what is dual SIM exactly? I mean, dual SIM is not so popular in Western part of the world as it is in the emerging markets. So there are a few reasons behind this. I mean, typically, when I go back home to my country, people are always like, can you text me on this number and you can reach me? Okay. The moment I start calling them on that number, it's like, no, I use that number only for text. Can you call me on another number? That's a hassle for me, not for them, because they carry dual SIM devices. So one of the reasons they carry dual SIM devices is because operators target different features. For example, there are operators heavily monopolizing on call. So you get really cheap call rates if you are on the same network. You get cheap call rates certain times of the hour, like at night between 3 to 7. You have similar packages for SMS and data. So what users simply do in these countries is that they just have multiple SIMs, one for cheap SMS, one for cheap call, which allows them to lower their overall cost. Another reason people use dual SIM is coverage. So in countries like India, not every operator is covering the whole region. So if you're traveling intra-country, it's possible that you drive from one region to the other, and the primary operator service which you're using doesn't cover your new region anymore. So then you switch to the other device, the other SIM. Another reason people use dual SIM over there is to have two different SIMs for work and home. Now, what people do in Europe is they simply carry multiple devices, one for work and one for home. People in these countries just want to have one primary device and have dual SIM. Now, as an app developer, how is this relevant to us? Well, if your app allows you to perform call or SMS operations, you would want to make sure that the user is capable of selecting the lowest cost operator. So you should take advantage of Microsoft APIs, which allow you to select the SIM, so you can present the user with the great UI for the SIM selection, and do not just assume that there is always a single SIM. Another problem on similar note, which we face in emerging markets, is when certain apps try to verify their users. I know that WhatsApp is doing it. We are doing it. When you open the app for the first time, we request for your phone number. You enter the phone number, you get an SMS, there is a code, you type the code, you get verified, you get to use the rest of the app. What happens in emerging markets is the failure rate. The failure rate of SMS, when we looked into our data, is 10%. So that means 90% of our users are able to receive the SMS codes and verify and move on and use the app. 10% of our users are just simply missing out without even having looked at the rest of the app, what it does, and they might never come back. So how can we solve that? Well, we can have fallbacks. We can offer the user, after a certain time, a possibility of call verification instead of SMS or text-to-speech, any other way of verifying the user, not only relying on SMS. Verification is maybe a specific topic for, but there can be other SMS-related features your app is relying on. So when you do that, you have to be careful that in emerging markets, the SMS delivery rate might not be so reliable. We can have retry mechanism. So after a certain time, when the SMS fails, you can retry again. Maybe it was not the SMS, maybe it was simply the HTTP request which triggers the SMS, and it never got triggered because of low network or fluctuation in the network. Yeah.
So UX is a problem, network is a problem, and also hardware brings its own challenges. Because first of all, we are used to having strong phones, powerful phones. I have a Lumia 930. It never lags. It works smooth. Even I have way too many apps on it. So you don't really think of these low-end phones, how they would behave. Well, in the office, we have enough of them. They have bad memory, very little memory. They have little storage. Some do get extra SD cards, but it's not really that common. Also, the CPU is not that strong, and battery also it's smaller. So, how can you do as a developer to make the most out of it? It's to be aware of it, to be aware of memory and storage constraints, to learn about your users' devices. App insights or other logging devices logging techniques can get you this information. To, like we showed you earlier, at least for us, the Nokia 520 is the most common device we are developing for. So whenever we try to do a feature and we think of something new to put in the app, we think how would this affect Nokia 520, because that's where a lot of our users are. So I'm repeating myself now, but I really think it's very important to learn your user and be very smart to what you cache, what you store, learn about what feature do they like to know more information about, what really would keep them engaged and maximize their experience. Also, we strongly recommend to use Visual Studio diagnostic tools or Memory Manager to see how much your background tasks or real-world app consumes. Some devices come with very harsh limitations. On particular devices, background routes can be limited to 5 megabytes. And I haven't been around programming for that long. So, but it kind of throws you back when you really have to think about every little bit and byte that you're actually using. You have to be super creative about it to actually get them to work the way you want to.
Yeah, you might even have to write some C++ if that sounds horrific. Yeah, so another important piece of user's device is the battery. Now, I'm also repeating my colleague here. 520 and 535, our most used devices, are low-end devices. The same applies to the battery as well. What can we do to utilize the battery more, let's say, smartly here? Well, we can postpone heavy operations on background tasks, operations which we don't require immediately. And we can also use APIs to figure out that if the device is plugged in, only then run certain operations so that you're not draining it out. We can use the Windows application model system condition type property when you're creating a background task to have certain constraints on when it should run. We can also use it to determine if the user is on a non-metered connection to reduce some cost. So then you only start network operations which are not extremely necessary, like synchronizations or refreshing certain data which can wait only on a non-metered connection. Since, remember that we said that cost of network is a problem in emerging markets. Now, another problem which is partially related to UI, partially related to hardware, is the different form factors. So Lumia 520 and 535 are not the device I would like to have personally to use here. I want the fancy Lumia 930 or maybe Lumia 950 in a couple of months. But these devices are like high-end, big resolution. That might not be the user in India using your app on. So your app, which looks super shiny and great and awesome on a Lumia 930, can look pretty terrible on a Lumia 520. So as the developers of Universal Windows apps are familiar with what Microsoft did recently in order to scale the UI on different devices, the same can be applied between devices of the same family, like mobile devices of big and smaller size. Now, scaling is a huge topic in itself, and there are great resources on MSDN, which we can look up for. I have listed some of them here, like Visual State Manager. We can use adaptive triggers to have a different layout for the UI, and it gets triggered when we have different screen sizes, so that we maintain the same user experience as we maintain on different device sizes. We can use relative panels, which gives us spatial alignments and possibility of laying out the elements relatively to each other. We can also defer certain elements so that heavy UI elements which require heavy rendering can wait a little bit and not affect and not be laggy and not blocking the UI. We can also use a cool Visual Studio 2015 feature, Live Visual Tree, to look into our visual tree while the app is running, using different device emulators. Yeah.
Yeah, so I just want to point out that we do so many things for scaling and for multiple resolution, and no solution works everywhere. Every time we need to do another page, we try them all and see which fits with whom. It takes a lot of our time to really get the same experience, the crisp look on every device, to look awesome on a 520 and to look awesome on my Nokia 930. It's really a challenge. But in summary, this is a huge topic. You can go into thousands of tips and tricks. They are as generic or custom to your own apps you are developing, but what we really want to stress out is learn about the environment your app is going to run in, see what kind of networks are there, what kind of costs your users are facing, how are they reaching electricity if there's available, do they have Wi-Fi, what are the hardware. Really try to make it as custom as possible for that particular market. And also learn about your users' culture, expectations from technology. Expectations may vary a lot based on necessity. For example, Truecaller app has a pretty neat feature which blocks spammers. It's really awesome, but there are countries where there are no spammers. So, of course, we in that market we have to develop other features that fit that market, fit that need. India, for example, was a country that really loved this feature. I think it's number one, because the spammers were really a big issue in that country. So one glove doesn't fit them all. You really have to customize as much as possible. And most importantly, learn from your mistakes or your peers' mistakes, like I hope you're going to do today. We ran into all these problems and we did all these mistakes to figure out the slides we put here.
Yeah, so as we said, what we demoed today, the autoplay, is available on GitHub. You can fork it, pull it, use it, extend it, however you like. Share with us, share with the community.
Don't customize torture it for your app.
Yeah. Make your designer's life easy. And some contact details for us if you have any questions.
Yep. Thank you very much for listening.
Yeah. Enjoy the rest of the tech days. Yeah, so as Ioana explained before, we have brand ambassadors in these countries who go out to the people who use the app, they talk to them, they see what is a feature they love, what is a feature they don't understand, what is a feature they hate. And we get regular feedback from our users. We also have a dedicated support team, which works day in, day out to gather all the feedback from the customers, and then we prioritize it in our backlog and see how we can make the users love our app. So it's the constant engagement with your customers, which makes it better in different iterations.
Also, does
it answer your question?
Sure. Application insights, Localytics, Crashlytics, there are a lot of different plugins that you can configure and find out what are your user actually using, and try to optimize for that.
So there is both an automated and a manual way of approaching that. Yeah, I mean, I might not have a silver bullet, but the wrong way to monetize is usually what companies do is they add a feature, and then they said, now after 1 year, we're monetizing on that. That doesn't work in emerging markets, because then people are just simply stop using your app. What you can do is monetize your app when you have a newer feature coming in, when you already have a loved base of your users in those markets, already love your app. Then you add new features targeting businesses, because maybe your regular customer might not want to pay for the app or the certain feature, but you might, if you benefit businesses, they might spend money on that. So, but that there can be many other factors to that. I don't have the silver bullet.
Yeah. Now this with Uncountnet ourselves, it's a cultural difference quite high. Here in the Western countries, we are kind of comfortable with having a small amount of money. I'm going to go to the gym sometime, so I'm going to pay for a whole year, or even for apps and stuff like that. It's not really the case in most emerging markets. They get afraid when you start to charge them. It's not comfortable. So what Hassan suggested, one opportunity is to think of a business model to contact businesses in that area and make them understand that your app and use their app in their business, they're more willing to cooperate. Thank you.
Thank you.
You can always contact us or approach us here around. We'll be at Microsoft booth.
Thanks.